upstairs. They threw me out of all the Sunday school classes, said I was too big and too old. So I left. But good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. We're going to try to start this and see how it works. We don't want to hinder the spirit. We don't want to hinder the spirit of worship. But we do want to get back into our Sunday school classes. I mean, the kids are really excited about getting back into Sunday school class. Amen. Because we are sheep and we have to be led. And we need to be led of the Lord. So if you would turn your Bibles, if you want to, just for a moment, to Genesis. Now this is not in the, what they're going to put up, because I want you to read this in your Bible. Genesis 4, verse 26. Well, we're going to talk today just briefly on prayer. I told you we would take one topic, actually take one word, and then that word we will use for as many times as we need it to talk about it just in a Sunday school class, okay? So prayer. Genesis 4, verse 26, and says, "And to Seth and him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Now, if you go back in Genesis 2, 1, 2, 3, and 4, God spoke straight to Adam. He spoke straight to Eve. God spoke straight to Abel. And God spoke directly to Cain. Amen? So that was the line of communication, because the way it's going to end up is the way it was in the beginning. We're not going to need prayer when we get to take a body change. It's all going to be done and over. You won't need prayer. Prayer is a communication, because you can't get directly to God except by prayer. And that's what we're going to read here in just a minute. But then after the fall in Genesis 4, they had a son named Seth, Adam and Eve did, and said, then man began to call upon the name of the Lord, which means they began to pray, because they could not get to God like Adam and Eve, and even Abel and Cain could get to God. Amen? And we can't get to God like Adam and Eve got to God, right? I mean, he would come and walk in the cool of the day. Sure, I wish God would appear, but now he literally appeared to Adam and Eve and talked to them person to person, back and forth. And we know that the Bible covers, and we may cover it a little bit later, the Bible covers that Moses talked to God lip to ear. Well, now, you got to remember, he was under the blood of bulls and goats. It wasn't the Almighty God standing in front of him. Remember, he came as different people, like the captain of the host, and he came as Melchizedek. He was veiled in something, because you can't see God. Amen? And then Moses said, I want to see God. God showed him the back part of him. But he did not show him his face, remember, because he'd have had to kill him if he showed him his face. Amen? So now let's look at this, to pull up the word prayer. It's an invocation or an act that seeks to activate a rapport with an object of worship through deliberate communication. In other words, prayer, you know, some people may pray to the devil. Some people may pray to an idol. Some people may pray to a building or whatever, but we pray to God. We are the only people on the face of the earth that knows who to pray to. Right? So it says, in the narrow sense, the term refers to an act of supplication or intercession directed towards a deity or a deified ancestor. Well, we don't have no deified ancestor. We have a daddy named God. His name is Jesus Christ. So we know who we're praying to. But now remember, when you look in the Bible, let's go to Genesis 3:18. There is, when it talks about pray, that pray there is not the pray that you pray for an intercession or pray to somebody. This is, in Hebrews, the lexicon tells us it's an exhortation. In other words, Frida, I pray that you'll come to church. Well, now, I'm not going to pray, but I'm going to bring up the next one. He says, I pray thee. So it's a primitive particle of incitement or entreaty. All right, so it's not prayer, like communication prayer from me to God. It's pray now, please. In other words, please come to church. I pray that you'll come to church. Well, you're not going to really pray, and you're saying a word that says please or an exhortation. So you have to keep those two separate. Believe me, there's 480 something references to prayer in the Bible, and I read every one of them. And some of them has nothing to do with prayer to God. It's, I pray that you'll come. I pray that you'll do this. Amen? So now let's go to Genesis, though. This is the first time that the word pray is for an intercession or for a communication to God. And look who it happens to. It happens to Abraham, the prophet Abraham. He has just given his wife away the second time. He just gave his wife away. And now he's telling them, now therefore restore the man his wife. He's talking to Abimelech, which is the king of that time, and he's going to take Sarah to be his wife, and God's not going to let that happen. So he says, look, now he's talking to Abimelech. He says, now therefore restore the man to his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. That's the first time in the Bible that that word pray means, go to the Hebrew lexicon, is to intervene, interpose, to mediate, to intercede, or to pray. All right, so that's palau in the Greek or Hebrew. And that is now become the where it comes to Abraham, which is Abraham's what? The father of us all, the father of faith. And what he does is God right there in Genesis 20 verse 7, and we'll read that, leave it up. Because look, it says in Genesis 27, he talks about pray for thee. Then Genesis 20:17, Abraham prayed unto God, a prayer of intercession or a prayer of communication, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bear children. Because God told Abimelech, he said, if you touch that woman, he said, I'll close every womb up in Egypt, and he said, I'll destroy your country. But he had to have Abraham come and pray for him. Everybody okay with that? Now let's go to Numbers 11 verse 2. So now, and the people cried unto Moses. Now this is the first time Moses prays a prayer of intercession. Because listen, Moses prayed many prayers for these people because they were always needing prayer. Amen. But now remember, when we look at this in Exodus, coming to Numbers, the people said, God, because see, God was wanting to talk to him like he did in the Garden of Eden. God said, bring him to the mountain. I'll talk to him lip to ear. The people said, no, we don't want that to happen. We want somebody to intercede or to pray for us. And they said, let Moses pray for us, and then we'll do whatever he says. Well, they didn't do everything he said. But every time they got in trouble, Moses prayed unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. So there was a prayer of intercession or mediation. And even, we're going to get to it in a little while. We may not get to it today. But the Bible talks about even when we pray for the sick. If you pray an earnest prayer for the sick, you can get your sins forgiven. Right. Yeah. Amen? Right. And if he has any sins, they'll be forgiven. We'll not get to that today. I want to try to get to a spot and then we'll stop. Because we're going to try to calibrate all this where we can have time and then it won't be rushed. But we don't have to do a big, long, like a Sunday school class we used to do downstairs. I'd rather do it. Just keep this one word of pray. Because remember, one more time, we're going to read in Psalms 5, verse 1. Watch this. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David. Now, David was one that could pray. Because the whole book of Psalms is a prayer. A prayer of exhortation and get me out of this and I need you and all these things. Because remember, we need prayer. Brother Branham tells us that it's the most powerful weapon. But it's temporary, remember. It's powerful. It's the most only way that we can talk to God because the Bible tells us to what? Pray without ceasing. So prayer and intercession is our greatest weapon. But it's not going to last, though, because when we get to... Now, see, here in the message of the hour, we have people that have superseded that and brought it back to, well, we're already in the millennium and we don't need to pray. We're already God made manifest in another form. That's what you said, Brother Wade. Yes, we do. But you still need prayer. Because you still sin every day. You still backslide every day. And the only way to keep from backsliding and sinning is to pray to God. He's the only intercessor. You don't pray to Brother Dale. You don't pray to William Branham. You pray to God.
Amen.
Amen. And you don't need a picture and you don't need to get into all these different places and positions. Let's don't be Catholics. Bible tells us pray without ceasing. How many times have you went down the road and something pop up in your mind of thinking of somebody and you go, God bless the people, you know. You remember the old saying is the ringing in the ear? Your ear starts ringing. You need to start praying for somebody because something's happening. That's the bells of heaven going off. Well, you know what? Sometimes if it goes off, God may want you to pray. But when something comes on your heart, don't pray that Brother Dale will pray for your kids. Because we do that anyway. But you pray for your kids. You can pray as we get all this together. We see this intercessory prayer, though, has been tainted by the Catholic Church. Because, see, you got to pray to a dead saint that prays to God. You got to pray to a priest that prays to God. You got to pray to the Pope that prays to God. You don't have to do that. Not as a Christian. As a Christian, you pray straight to God Almighty. You don't have to go through an angel. Now, God may send an angel to help you. But you're praying to Almighty God. And you're not praying to a second person of the Trinity or a third person of the Trinity. You're praying to Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Now God told them, it's later on in here, but I want to bring this out. You know, God told the people that if they'll just look toward the temple and pray. Jonah, look toward the temple and pray. If you get in trouble, look toward the temple because that was the Old Testament. That's where they knew God was at the time.
Right.
See, you and I don't have to pray toward Lula, Georgia. We don't have to pray toward Jeffersonville. You pray to God. Because you know where He is. You're the only people in the world that knows where He is.
Amen?
And we know He's in our heart, but remember, in our heart, we still have to communicate. We still have to pray. Don't be like the people that are in the message that see how close it is, though. You come over here and you say, well, you're saying we're Almighty God and we're God in human flesh and we're the bride and we're this and we're that. You still need prayer. Because you're still in a sinful condition. You're still in a sinful body. And you still have memory, reason, conscience, affection, and imagination to deal with. For unto thee will I pray, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Let's go to Proverbs 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Wow. God delights. He loves for you to pray to Him. He's never too busy. We know that, but sometimes we go, well, maybe I'll pray tomorrow. No, you need to pray right then. Because God may want you to pray. Now, truly, there is an intercession where you can intercede for someone. Brother Brown said you get so sick you can't pray for yourself. You need somebody to pray for you. But it's not that I've got to pray to this one and then it connects to that one and then it connects to this one. No, you're praying a prayer because you're outside. And for some of you sisters that have lost your husbands, I can't pray for that. Some of the sisters that have husbands. But you can.
Right.
You can pray for somebody like Sister Kathy that just lost her husband. And vice versa the other way. We can enter. I can't enter in. There was a guy last Saturday. He had just lost his wife. She was only like 50-something years old. Died suddenly. And he comes out to the mailbox and he's telling me about this situation that he was in, that his wife just died. And he was just, you know, teared up. Well, see, I couldn't, and I told him, I said, buddy, I'll pray for you. I said, but I can't enter into your situation because my wife's still alive. But God does put us in situations where many times we've seen where if, like when Sister Hazel died, Brother Gary Atkins was here, Brother Gary Krantz, they had lost wives before, and they could help or intercede with Brother Tom and different ones, and even went to the hospital with them because their situation was that they could enter in or intercede and say, God, I know how that person feels. So see, you can tell somebody you pray for them, but if somebody says, well, you know what I mean, talking about my wife. No, I don't know what you mean. I've still got mine. But I can pray that God will give you comfort because He's the only one that can comfort you. Amen? And we don't question why God does things, but we know that there's one thing for sure. Prayer changes things.
Amen.
We'll get into that next Sunday, not this Sunday, where Brother Brown says prayer changes things. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Now let's go to Isaiah 56, verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. Now this is the Old Testament because look. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer. Now, this is sacrifices. This is what they laid on the altar, but they still had to pray, lay their hands on that sacrifice, and say, God, forgive me of my sins. They're not praying to the dead animal. They're praying to God, but that's the only way they could get to him in the Old Testament. Because the New Testament, now we live under a New Testament. We're going to talk about this afternoon. Where now Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is our lamb that died. He is the one that we pray to. Because he's Almighty God. We don't pray to another person. We pray to Almighty God. So when you talk to God, be careful. That's who you're talking to. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all the people. Now Jesus refers to this scripture when he drives the thieves out of the people that are selling in the temple. He drives them out. He said, my Father has made this a house of prayer and you've made it a den of thieves. That's the scripture he's talking about, Isaiah 56. Many times I know we read through the New Testament, but most of the time Jesus is quoting the Old Testament. Because that's how he came under. He came under the Old Testament. Alright? So this shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Now let's go to Daniel 9 verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sins of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord for the holy mountain of my God. What happened is Daniel opened up his shutters and he did what God said. He prayed toward that temple.
Right.
And God heard him. Because, and whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, who had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So, but now remember, this is Old Testament. So he needed Gabriel. They needed the archangel. They needed all these different ones in the Old Testament. But remember, you don't pray to Gabriel. Now you don't. You pray to Jesus Christ. We know that Gabriel was an angel, but it was somebody that they were very familiar with. Because remember, Gabriel was always the one that brought him a message.
He brought a message to him.
He brought a message to Mary. Amen. Yet while I was speaking in prayer, Matthew 5 verse 44. Let's get into the New Testament in just a minute and we'll stop right here. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. How many of you do that? I don't want to show of hands. It embarrasses all of us. Brother Wade, waste time praying for my enemies? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Because that prayer may touch that person. That prayer life will help you. Now watch this in Matthew 6 verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. That's why that sometimes you hear people and they want to pray louder than the rest of the people, or they want to pray longer than the rest of the people. Listen, folks, if you're taking up an offering, pray for the offering. Don't pray for the House and the Senate and for people in another church. You're praying for the offering. Okay? Same way with responsive reading and all that. Pray. It's not prayer request time. Brother Terrence, is prayer request time, so you pray for the prayer request. You get up here, pray the prayer that you need to pray at the time, because when do we do most of our earnest praying? It's not here in church. I thought the prophet said you need to be prayed up before you get here. Prayed up before you get here. Not be unfamiliar with prayer before you get here and then practice it in the church. That's not what God's saying. All right, let's read that again. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, because remember, what did Jesus do? They were standing in the synagogue one day. And this one over here was just praying this big loud prayer, and this other one, I'm just so glad I'm not like that sinner over there. And then the guy over here was praying, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. He said, which one did my father hear? He didn't hear that loud one. He heard that guy here because this guy was honest. He said, I'm praying for me. You know, a lot of times we need to pray for ourselves. We're the first one that needs it. Oh yeah, everybody else has got different needs, but you pray that you get yourself out of the way. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now it's not going to be a good one. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and thou, when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. And look, it says, but when we pray, use not vain repetition. In other words, the same thing over and over again. As the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not thou therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. This is my last point right here. You say, well, God already knows. God already knows what's going to happen. Why do we need to pray? Well, he knew two things. He knew you weren't going to pray, or he knew you were going to pray. So by foreknowledge, he had both of them waiting. He knew if you wasn't going to pray, this is what you was going to get. He knew if you did pray, this is what you was going to get. We go back to the foreknowledge of God, knowing if you say, well, we always talk about praying for our kids, but we can't save our kids. But that prayer of intercession, God knows we, like Brother Luis and the different ones, and we pray earnestly for our children. Then let God work on that end. But he's listening to what? The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So let's finish this right here and then we'll stop. Musicians come as soon as I get finished reading this. And after this manner, therefore pray ye, and let's all stand, and let's say the Lord's Prayer. You ready? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth, not on earth, in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Musicians, come. You may be seated. We'll stop right there and we'll start again. Matthew 21 says, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive it. Wow, what about that? Whatever you ask in prayer, you shall receive it. You say, well, I've never received anything. I prayed 10 times for my kids. I prayed 20 years for my kids. Keep praying. Keep praying. But you know what? Check yourself first. Check, because we're going to get into it a little bit further on down the line that the Bible says if you pray with your hair cut, God's not going to hear your prayer. It's an abomination. That's Bible. Brother Brown said he won't hear your prayer for intercession. He'll only hear for your prayer for you to forgive you for what you did, sisters. And brothers, be careful because we the same way. Because we're all feminine in the body of Christ. Amen? All right. So God bless you. They're going to play some music and then Brother Joe will come up.